Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is John Cohen, who is a correspondent with Science Magazine and has also written for The New Yorker, Atlantic Monthly, New York Times Magazine, Smithsonian, Outside Slate, Technology Review, Discover, The Washington Post, New Republic, Glamour, and Surfer. His books include Coming to Term, Uncovering the Truth About Miscarriages, Shots in the Dark, The Wayward Search for an AIDS Vaccine, and Almost Chimpanzee, Searching for What Makes Us Human in Rainforests, Labs, Sanctuaries, and Zoos. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Cohen.
Thanks so much for having me.
And today, President Obama promised to ensure that scientific research will be insulated from partisan politics as he spoke at the National Academy of Sciences celebration of its 150th anniversary. And I think that without doubt he was referring to what Lamar Smith, the Texas Republican who's chairman of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, has recently done in demanding that the National Science Foundation justify its research. Is this a new round in the war on science?
Nah, not at all. This is politicians have been trying to muck with how the money that they appropriate gets spent forever. I think Obama's defense of allowing the peer review process to work and allowing evidence to guide what scientists do is very sane. And it's you know, something that we should all be applauding. At the same time, it's nothing new for politicians to try to mess with the system that's working.
But can Lamar Smith get away with it? In other words, can he impose his regime and override the peer review process, which is apparently the intention of his law?
Well, every time that Congress has tried to do that, they've been pilloried. They've been hammered for trying to do it. And even if it does happen, it probably, I would predict, get undone pretty quickly. So, yes, it certainly could happen, but the outcry will be loud and fierce.
So but when you say this has been going on for some time, Tom Coburn, of course, has been at the National Science after them for some time as well, saying that they can't, he doesn't like them doing research on political science. How much of this, though, is based upon the congressmen and the senators' religious beliefs? Because both, I certainly know that Tom Coburn is an extremely religious fundamentalist Christian. I don't know about Lamar Smith.
Well, I think the tension between religion and science leads to this conflict in politics again and again. And we've seen it with everything from attempts to link breast cancer to abortion, attempts to, with President Bush, he created this great program for AIDS relief in developing countries, but said that we couldn't fund things that encouraged women who were selling sex or that encouraged people who use needles. So we see the intersection of religion and science all the time leading to this problem. I don't know in these specific cases whether that's the driving force, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, this has been going on for decades. And, you know, the federal government really ramped up its funding of science after World War II with a very noble pursuit, and that was let industry do what industry does, but basic fundamental research that is high risk is what the federal government wants to support. And that's kind of an easy target for politicians because you can't often prove that what you're funding leads to something practical.
Well, there's also, I think, isn't there the element of pork barrel? I mean, in all things that Congress do, I mean, at the moment, for example, the Army is saying, we don't want any more tanks. And the congressmen from the districts that build this tank want more tanks, even though the Army doesn't want them. So we know that goes on. But I recall at the time when they were talking about building the giant accelerator that has operated in Switzerland now that looks into the very origins of matter itself, that was going to be built I can't remember where it was going to be built, but didn't they then some group of congressmen in Texas decided to move it down to Texas? So can you have can it work for science as well as work against us, the congressional interference?
Well, I mean, yes, it can if there's an advocate for something to happen. Look at Kennedy and the moon launch. Certainly, scientists can benefit greatly by political action. And, you know, the Clinton administration doubled the budget of the National Institutes of Health. It made an enormous difference. But I think at the core, there has to be a belief in the scientific credo that peer review is like democracy. It's not perfect, but it's better than any other system, and that we have to let evidence guide us. And once you start rejecting those two principles, which is what's been happening lately, then you run into just a world of trouble. And I think something that Americans should keep in mind is we're better than a lot of countries, you know, at separating what essentially is like a church and state separation. We're better at it. But, you know, obviously, we're not perfect.
Sure. Well, again, I'm speaking with John Cohen, who's a correspondent with Science Magazine, and his books include Coming to Terms, Uncovering the Truth About Miscarriage, Shots in the Dark, A Wayward Search for an AIDS Vaccine, and Almost Chimpanzee, Searching for What Makes Us Human in Rainforest Labs, Sanctuaries, and Zoos. But if you have deeply held religious beliefs like Tom Coburn does, then... And you know, you don't believe in evolution. You believe in creationism. That's just fundamentally a irreconcilable position vis-a-vis science, isn't it?
Certainly. And we tolerate a diversity of opinion in this country. So he's allowed to believe that, and he's allowed to tell his constituents that's what he believes. And at the same time, we as a society have to speak up vocally when people who have opinions that violate the logic of science and the evidence-based notion, that we get vocal about it. And, you know, I think that's what's been happening the last few weeks. I think Obama was vocal about it today. That's what has to happen in this society.
Right, but it's one thing. But John, it's one thing to believe something, and it's another thing to be in a position of power where you can impose your beliefs on others. I mean, that's happened, for example, with the Texas textbooks. You know, they're forcing the teaching of creationism. They're imposing their views, and it seems to me that maybe this is what Lamar Smith is doing as well.
We don't have a First Amendment for science. There's no document, there's nothing in our system that guarantees these things and holds them up as truths that are inalienable or rights or anything like that. This is a battle that has to be fought again and again with illogic and with people who are going to try to force their own views on a community of scientists who are essentially in complete agreement about how things should work.
But just specifically in terms of what Lamar Smith has the congressman who's in charge of the House Science and Technology Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, in his letter to the NSF and the bill that he's putting forth called the High Quality Research Act, one of the things in the bill is that Smith does not want to – he wants to ensure approved projects are not duplicative in terms of NSF funding, even though scientific research is by nature meant to be replicated, right? I mean, that's what it – you know, that's a scientific method, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. It's ridiculous. And redundancy is important, and the whole idea of verifying experiments with your own hands and your own laboratory is the essence of leading to credible evidence. So, I mean, how do we address ignorance in this country on any level? That's all it is. It's pure ignorance. And we see it in many realms outside of the world of science. we see it in the way that we make military decisions as well, or any other, you know, major decisions we make. When there's ignorance, what can you do? You just have to be extremely vocal about it and call it what it is, and it's ignorance.
Well, but one of the problems is with the convention in our press of equal and opposite arguments, you know, the binary way our press is structured with thesis, antithesis, synthesis, and the pro and con argument and giving them equal value, that I think has led to the idea that creationism is equal to evolution, and more to the point, I think, that global warming denial is just the other side of the argument. You know, you got to have both sides of the argument.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think some journalists are very guilty of trying to be even-handed about things that we shouldn't be even-handed about. I mean, in South Africa, I've covered the AIDS epidemic for 25 years. The president of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, said that he wasn't convinced that HIV was the cause of AIDS. His country had more HIV than any country in the world. He allowed, under his watch, hundreds of thousands of people to become infected or to not receive treatment and die who could have been helped by scientific events. This is happening everywhere. It's outrageous, and it's harming us as people. And, you know, all I can say to the journalists I work with is, I'm going to write about your nonsense, and you're going to do it on the radio, and we're all going to collectively try to self-correct those problems. And journalists who are not good at their craft, or just like doctors who aren't good at their craft, or any other profession, when they're not good at their craft, they need to be exposed. And it's our job as journalists to point it out.
Well, but for one who has spent a lot of time with scientists, John Cohen, I mean, what I find, and I have some friends who are scientists, the one thing I find about them is that they're incredibly conservative, that they don't make rash statements, that they don't make rash promises. And that's what I find so extraordinary, the idea that the global warming deniers are saying that these scientists are making stuff up. That just doesn't happen, right?
Well, you know, the beauty of science is that it's open to new ideas, and the notion is that we only know what we know today. Everything is topical knowledge, and that's a beautiful thing that people can easily exploit. You can take advantage of scientists because they aspire to be open-minded, and that's what happens. And so, yes, they are in some ways sitting ducks. They're asking for it because their credo is, I only know what evidence I have. So you can introduce doubt everywhere. But, you know, we can forcefully say certain things with evidence that stop arguments. We now have antiretroviral drugs that allow people to live for decades who have HIV. That's a pretty strong argument that science delivered on the notion that HIV causes AIDS. So stop it. Just stop it. And well, I think we need to do the same things with, you know, with climate change and anything else that's just illogical. Hit it with evidence.
Well, Jeff Cohen, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with John Cohen, who is a correspondent with Science Magazine and has also written for The New Yorker, Atlantic Monthly, The New York Times Magazine, Smithsonian, Outside, Slate, Technology Review, Discover, The Washington Post, New Republic, Glamour, and Surfer. His books include Coming to Term, Uncovering the Truth About Miscarriage, Shots in the Dark, The Wayward Search for an AIDS Vaccine, and Almost Chimpanzee, Searching for What Makes Us Human in Rainforest Labs, Sanctuaries, and Zoos. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.